Hello and welcome to Live the Grasp. I am Brian Naylor, and joining me on the line are Mike Repo and Brian Rabchuk. On today's podcast, we're going to be previewing the Week 2 NFL slate. What is up, guys?
Not much, man. How are you?
Hanging in there. Anything going on in your lives that's interesting?
No, I have two kids under three. I just, it's all chaos at all times. Over it. I love you guys. Go to bed.
Get them to bed. Well, we're clearing the water off of Soldier Field still from last weekend. I'm sure y'all saw the deluge. Little postmortem on my pick last week was partially based on the new turf and the weather. Did not hold, given I think like over 2 inches of rain fell during that game. But surprise win for the Bears, so I'll take it.
So funny when Red Zone cut into the game, it was like trending towards halftime, and there might have been like 17 total points or something scored. And I was like, and sometimes some of those camera angles when they're far off, you really can't see the reins overly well. And I was like, oh man, I smoked this. Rabchuk's pick is crap. I was gonna start sending you texts about the bluegrass and all this other crap. And then they did one of the on-field shots, and it was like you're like swimming through air. It's like a fucking monsoon. And I was like, yeah, you know, maybe I'll just save that text.
Yeah, it was actually 7-0 at half, I'm pretty sure. And yeah, I was sitting there thinking, yeah, the over is far off. It actually, you know, there was a chance a couple times. I mean, there were a couple red zone opportunities for both teams that did not result in points, not surprisingly, given the conditions on the field. It was insanity. But the Bears held strong against a good 49ers team. So, but nice pick on the under. That was I had even thought about the weather, but was not expecting that. So a good pick.
Well, we can start right there. Do you want to go with your first pick?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to keep it alive. I'm going to go with the Bears at +9.5. That's a pretty big number. That's it at -108. Bears are heading up to Green Bay, taking on Mr. Rodgers, who, you know, we all know the quote from last year, "I own you." But all trends must come to an end. I think this game's going to be close. Getsy's scheming against his old team. I think if anyone knows what's going to work, it's a guy that's been in that system for a number of years. So I think he's going to be able to pull a pretty good scheme on the offense. And the Packers clearly have some things to work through. You know, I think after they lost this first week to Minnesota, it brought some flashbacks to last season where they lost in week one, but they came back in week two against the Lions. I went and watched the 10-minute replay of that game, looked at the stats. Rodgers was insane. Now the Lions were terrible, but Rodgers went 22-27. He threw to Adams, obviously, 8 times, and he threw to Jones 6 times. He had 3 receiving touchdowns, and then he had 17 carries for another TD. So he was relying on Jones, and they also opened up some opportunities for Tonyan. So, I mean, the change in the calculation there this year is Adams is not there. So it's not going to be as easy of a recovery for them in week two. I think the Bears are going to obviously come into the game looking to shut down Jones and say, all right, make one of these young receivers that couldn't catch a ball last week. Let's see what they can do. So I think I do not think the Packers are going to come back with just a blowout performance. I think it's going to be a bit more of a battle. So I'm taking the points there and going to roll with the Bears here in the second week.
I'll jump in real quick because I'm actually on the other side of that. For this week, I got Green Bay -9.5. And a lot of the stuff that you already talked about, I had in my notes as well. I'm in the mindset that I thought Green Bay actually played half decent last week against a Minnesota team that I think has the potential to be a Super Bowl contender. Green Bay still rushed 18 times for 111 yards. That's 6.2 yards a carry against a pretty stout Minnesota defensive line, which I'm sorry to say, your Bears are lacking on the defensive end side. And the biggest stat that came from that Minnesota game, I thought, was the four sacks. Again, I'm going to harp on your defensive line in Chicago just not being that great. Rodgers was sacked four times, like I said. It was also resulting in a big fumble, and they were down, I think, 0-17 at halftime. Did make it a game, but Minnesota did end up winning that game. Packers are going to hopefully get both their tackles back. I'm thinking that they're going to definitely get their left tackle. David, I'm going to botch his Bakhtiari. He did practice yesterday. The right tackle, Elgin Jenkins, he's still iffy. If he doesn't come back, I still think that the guys that played in the Minnesota game would actually be able to give Rodgers a lot more time than he did in that game last week. So also, you did mention last year about week one, so I won't go over it again. But the stats that the Packers and Rodgers have against the Bears recently are pretty staggering. Packers have actually covered six straight games against the Bears. And Rodgers prime time, which this game is going to be on Sunday night, I believe, in Lambeau, he is 26 TDs, zero interceptions against the Bears. So I think that Chicago, sorry, dude, you guys got a little lucky with the weather and Trey Lance's first game as a starter in San Francisco. I don't think you guys are going to be up to snub this game.
I respect your counterpoints there. This is a I'm going for a reach here, and I'm probably going to hold myself that if this one doesn't come through, I might go ahead and just put the Bears on the side for the rest of the season, because it's going to be an up and down one. I by no means do I think anyone should read too much into the Bears against the 49ers.
No, but conditions. We'll see about your Adams information. Part of me thinks that Rodgers just needs a little bit more. I think their running game will be more of the determining factor if they get past the 9.5. And one of the, you're right, one of the young receivers needs to kind of step up. So we'll see.
All right, I'm going to go with my first pick. So this is a little bit of a flex pick. I'm going to be picking the Pats -2 at the Steelers, but the only reason I would flex is if Mac Jones doesn't play, then I'm going to go with Carolina. But assuming Mac Jones is going to play, the Steelers have no TJ Watt this week. He was a menace last week in Cincinnati before he went down with an injury. They believe it's a torn pectoral and that he might be out for the season, I believe, or at least extended. Mac Jones went down with a back injury, but they still believe he's going to play on Sunday. So I'm going to stick with that. Miami just might be all right. And the Steelers got incredibly lucky. So I really like the idea of Belichick after kind of an embarrassing loss. And then you have the Steelers winning a game that late, I thought a handful of different times since he was going to steal from them. So Belichick after a loss at the spread or as a favorite under 7, he's 25-3 lifetime and 4-1, with a quarterback that's not named Tom Brady. So he's done it with Mac Jones, Cam Newton and Matt Castle as well. So it's a little bit of a vibe comeback, but I like Belichick coming, this week against the Steelers.
Yeah. All fair points. I think the Patriots and Belichick, everyone's still trying to figure out what is this new era. Obviously it's been a couple of years without Brady. And you referenced that in some of the numbers there. I did take the Steelers as my money line dog, as some people say. So I'll go ahead and put that in here a little bit out of order, but I took him at +106. I thought one of the interesting things I read was, Robert Kraft came out and sort of put out in the media that he wants them playing Kendrick Bourne more often and in more plays. And he certainly didn't play enough at the end of that game based on what I read. But I just sort of had these thoughts about the Patriots turning into a little bit of a Dallas atmosphere where, Robert Kraft has obviously been a front and center owner when you have a dynasty team like that, but I don't think he was often wading into who's going to play, like in a Jerry Jones situation where it's like, all right, I'm going to step over Belichick here and I'm going to say who I think needs to play when and where. And I, part of me thinks that's a sign that the Patriots really are trying to figure out what's going to happen here. And the other factor, to your point, I mean, Mac Jones playing or not playing, I do think is going to obviously change the dynamic of the game, but seems pretty clear his back is not 100%. And then he sat out with an illness. I didn't see what that illness was. I don't think it really affected anything other than he didn't get probably the reps they anticipated here in the middle of the week. So maybe that's some rest that'll be to his advantage. But I think you're going to see the Steelers come after Mac Jones and see really how healthy is he. And I like Tomlin at home. So we'll see. But I went ahead and took the Steelers at plus 106.
Yeah, the illness is undisclosed, at least from all the reporting I saw. But the only
concern. Wasn't that a back thing?
Well, the back was the injury that, but there was an illness this week.
Oh, an illness. I'm sorry.
Why he's missed practice. But the only consensus I've seen on the illness is that it shouldn't affect his playing time on Sunday. So you're right. It might just be a reps thing, but I'll still roll the dice as long as he's playing. If not, I'm going to flex this into a Carolina.
Well, what does that mean, flex? You're going to just completely change your best bet?
I'm going to change my bet if it'll come Sunday.
Okay, so I'm just going to say, this is what I'm going to do. If my bet 5 minutes at the end of the game is going to lose, I'm going to switch my bet thinking it's just a bad bet and I'm not going to do it. I mean, I didn't realize we could just switch bets out of the blue. So that's fine.
I'm telling everybody on Thursday before it happens. I'm telling everybody on Thursday before it happens. This is the thinking. This line is with Matt, assuming that Mac Jones is going to be playing because that's what all the indications are. So that this line doesn't even exist if Mac Jones gets announced as not the starter. So I like the Pats minus two with Mac Jones. If not, I'm going to go with Carolina.
Okay. I didn't realize we were doing that. Okay. Just good to know. Anyways, my next bet, Arizona money line at Las Vegas. I got that at plus 200. It was either DraftKings or it was one of the sites. Anyways, I think this is your classic overreaction after week one. Arizona played a Chiefs team that's still obviously tops in the league. Not right now that they're losing 17-7 against the Chargers. But again, Vegas also played a good Chargers team, but the final score was close. So I'm thinking Vegas, if you're looking at those 11 drives that they had, two ended up in punts, four ended up in turnovers. I think Arizona and Las Vegas are both very similar teams. They both have very poor offensive lines, and both teams also have good pass rushing defenses. Raiders with Max Crosby and Chandler Jones, and Arizona with J.J. Watt, who looks like he will most likely be back this week. And Arizona also has Marcus Golden. Cardinals have Byron Murphy to cover Dante Adams, which obviously was Carr's favorite target last week. Adams had, 17 targets last week, accounting for half of Derek Carr's attempts. I think if you have the combination with Murphy covering him majority of the time, and then you also have Buda Baker, their safety, kind of honing in on him as well, make someone else beat you. I think the Cardinals can actually stay with the Raiders in this game. And Carr had three interceptions last week, and I think it was because he targeted Adams too much. So a combination of all this, I like the QB that's a little bit mobile on pass rushes and can play with his feet. I think Kyler Murray has a big game here and comes out with an outright win.
All right, Rab.
All right, I have the Bengals, big number here, minus 7.5 against the Cowboys. Bengals obviously lost a close one last week. I'm not taking the money line here. I'm taking the points, but I think there's no way the Bengals are going down 0-2. So I think they're going to come out you know, very intentional and look to make a point against a Dallas team that's clearly going to be struggling with Dak out. So Burrow against the spread in big games. Now, this is a little bit of a, you know, cherry picking, but Burrow against the spread in big games is 9-0. Now, I'm stealing this report. I should have to quote the guy who I'm referencing, who I sort of read his little report here on his big game spread. But I thought it was interesting because Burrow does come out in big games, and he did so even when they were a 6-point favorite, I believe, in the first round of the playoffs against against the Raiders last year, and they came out and they won that game by 7. So I know it's a big number, but I think they're going to come out firing, and Dallas is on their back foot. They're obviously starting Cooper Rush here, who, you know, you can play two angles on Cooper Rush. He's been in the system for 5 years, so you could call that a positive. He's also started one game, and to think that you're going to run offense better with Cooper Rush compared to Dak Prescott, I think they put up, was it 3 points last week? Granted, it was against a Tampa Bay defense, but the Bengals have a pretty good run defense as well. So I don't think they're going to be able to lean on the run game, Dallas, that is. I don't think they're going to find a way to put up many points, and I think the Bengals are going to come out firing. So I think this one's going to be pretty lopsided. So I'm taking the Bengals at -7.5.
So I'm on, the opposite side of you. I don't love this pick. You mentioned the number 7.5, and you keep saying that the number is a big number, and that's one of the main reasons why I'm on the other side of it. I think Cincinnati as a whole was lucky to get to the Super Bowl last year. I think that they have many holes, especially in their offensive line, and last week showed it with the Steelers had 7 sacks for 39 yards. Also had, they had 4 interceptions, but some of those were a little fluky. I think Watt had one at the line, which was, you know, that doesn't happen too often. I just think that it will be a close game. It'll be a low scoring game, kind of like what the Cincinnati had last week. I don't think Cooper Rush is going to be that effective, but I don't think it's going to matter. I think that Dallas is going to score probably a defensive touchdown in this game somehow. And I think I just think Dallas's main defensive line is going to actually disrupt Cincinnati because their offensive line, they didn't do anything to improve that weakness on last year. So it still hurts them. So I got Dallas.
Yeah, I just got to challenge you on one thing there. I don't think you can say they got lucky making the Super Bowl. I mean, I know what you mean by that, but you still got to win the games, and they did, and they beat some big teams. So, you know, no one predicted.
Do you think that they were the best AFC team last year?
They, you know, that's the thing about football. We're not talking baseball. They're not going to play, you know, they're only
right.
They only
got to
play them once.
But
so
lucky. I mean, they're lucky.
How often do you think the best team from the NFC and the AFC challenge each other in the Super Bowl every year? I would say basically never. Somewhere along the lines that when a better team falls, you know, like KC and Buffalo are probably both better.
But how many people probably took Cincinnati to go to the Super Bowl last year when the playoffs started or at the beginning of the season? If Vegas had them, I'm spitballing. Was it over 100-1 odds
to win the Super Bowl?
If Vegas has it at that, the guys do this on a consistent basis every year, you know, no one saw them being in there. So I think that unless they somehow they become like the greatest team of all time throughout the entire season, I don't think that's what it was. It was lucky. I don't think there's anything that would dispute that.
Right. Yeah, I don't think they really got lucky either. I thought they had one of the best rookie wideout performances ever. They had a quarterback that was on fire that has great chemistry with them and a great kicker.
Do you think they make the playoffs this season?
Do I think they made playoffs? Yes. Yeah. I do.
Okay. I would kind of challenge that. I think Baltimore is the better team in that division, and they're not going to be good enough to actually get enough wins in a very, very challenging AFC this year. But we'll see.
Okay, so you guys went through all yours, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so I'll just burn through my last two here. So I'm taking Jacksonville +4 at home against Indy. I thought Jacksonville should have won last week. Wentz had a miracle throw at the end to pull the Commanders in front. Also, Pittman is nursing a quad injury, so he might be out. Not a really inspiring game from Indy last week either, but the Jacksonville Jaguars kind of have their number. At the spread, the Colts have lost the last 5 against Jacksonville, and they're actually 1-12-1 at the spread since 2015. So I'm doing a bounce back game here for Jacksonville +4. And then I'm also, for the last game, I'm going to be taking the New Orleans money line at +125. I waxed the stats here because I referenced them 100 times last year, but the two most predictable trends for quarterbacks in the NFL are Daniel Jones is awful at home and amazing away, and Jameis Winston is awful as a favorite and awesome as a dog. So we have Winston in a dog situation here, +125. Brady's 0-4 at the spread in the regular season against the Saints since he's been in Tampa Bay. Michael Thomas looked like himself last week, and I'm not looking too much into the Tampa Bay effort last week. At the Cowboys might just suck. And Dak got hurt in the middle of the game. So I like New Orleans on the money line at +125. All right. Anything else going on in your lives? Anybody else's significant other trying to smuggle their children to a foreign country to live a separate life, covertly or overtly?
We'll leave that to another day. We'll see how that
you have a lot of time on your hands when you have no family. It's 4 months.
My picks will be amazing when that happens. You will
be. You're going to move into my guest room, not shave, eat cereal 4 times a day, and just come up with great picks.
It'll be a good life. It'll be a good
life. You got anything, Rab? Any parting shots?
Well, no. You know, I think last week we said we'd do one non-NFL pick. So one thing that came up on my radar here, you know, I'm in Chicago. We've talked about that plenty, but I saw the line. Michigan State is traveling out west to play Washington, the Huskies. This is college football.
Yeah.
Michigan State is ranked 11th. Now, you can say what you will about the rankings. You can say what you will about the divisions. But Michigan State is +3.5, being ranked 11th. Washington, they're giving them they're picking them over, or whatever, they're picking them, obviously. This is what Vegas has put out. I think it will be a close game, but I sort of like that 3.5 because, you know, I think Michigan has the talent, Michigan State. And they're making a really big push here to show that they can compete with Michigan, with Ohio State. They're ranked 11th for a reason. I think it's going to be a close game. I do sometimes worry about those trips out west. It can obviously affect the teams. You get jet lag on a flight that long. So hopefully they have some time to settle in. I think it's going to be close, but I like the 3.5 if it comes down to a field goal, that you still have Michigan State there. So that was one that I think a lot of people were, you know, just found that line interesting, and I did as well. So I thought I'd put it out there for those that are looking at the college football options.
I haven't made that bet yet, but I'm on the same page as you. I'll just leave it at that. I'll keep it short and sweet, but I like your analysis on that. I think Michigan State is 100% the side of that game. Yeah, I'm with you. Keep it short. Nice.
Hey, Mike, you have an opportunity to put your money where your mouth is. Dallas is 13-1 for a defensive touchdown in the Cincy game. So I'll be expecting you to make that.
I just think, I don't know. I think it's, I don't think will they allow you to bet on the type, like a fumble recovery for a touchdown?
I think you can, actually.
Okay. I'll do that. I'll do that.
That'd be fun.
That would be fun. I'll see if I can figure out how to find. I'm going to have to probably do it the day of, but that'll be a fun little.
You're getting specific there. So you don't like the plus 1300 on just the defensive touchdown. You think?
No, I'm going to go all in, man. I'm going to go where I think, because I like I said, I will say Steelers defense was surprising, but I also think it's Cincinnati's.
But that was all with J.J. Watt, or 3/4 of the game was with J.J. Watt.
Who's going to fumble?
Well, Michael
ball?
Parsons Mason? isn't exactly chopped liver. You know, I think Dallas would get after the quarterback. I think that's my plan. We'll see what happens on Sunday, and then I actually that's a better idea. I'll just pick the person Parsons.
It's gonna touchdown. Be like 50.
That'll be pretty high.
Can you pick who's gonna have the fumble recovery? I mean, I'm just all right. Maybe I guess you're expecting Burrow, but how often does a fumble by the quarterback result in a touchdown?
I mean, if he's backed up into his end zone.
All right. Well, it's not gonna be Mixon. He's fumbled the ball 3 times in his career, so you better hope that Burrow is just getting attacked and can't hold the ball. I don't know how many fumbles Burrow has. We could look that up quickly. But you're all right, let's see. This is gonna be exciting. You're getting specific.
We're gonna be talking a lot of shit.
Also, just a random grasper, if anybody's looking for long shots or they have some free bets to burn, the Pelicans at 50-1 to win the NBA Finals is an interesting bet because they might have the most talented roster in the league. But it's a hard thing to calculate because it all depends on Zion actually playing. But when he does, he's basically an unstoppable force of nature. So it's just a long shot. I mean, if he was healthy, they'd be way higher. He is healthy, but if he had like an established playing history, they'd be way higher. They'd be like 20 or 18-1. But currently,
I take your expertise in NBA. I don't watch it. I don't know. I half the players. I'm like, I didn't even realize they're still in the league. You're the expert on NBA. I trust your judgment. So maybe
Their starting lineup's insane, and they've drafted really well, and they got a very good coach. So I think it's just a flyer, but they can be a top 4 seed, and then you never know.
All right. Maybe we'll do that one too.
My one sentence life advice is a little weird this week, but it's a quote that I can't stop laughing at because I don't know why YouTube keeps populating this Ron Swanson quote from Parks and Rec, and I laugh at it every time. He takes over like a telecon, and they is it a telethon where they're calling in and asking him questions.
Yeah,
somebody says, they have a terrier that scratched their kitchen table. How do they fix it? His response is, first you go get a walnut. You rub it into the grain to hide the scratch. Next thing you want to do is ditch the terrier and get yourself a proper dog. Any dog under 50 pounds is a cat, and cats are worthless. It's just so true.
Man, I don't know if you're just trying to put in digs here at the end, but you know I'm a cat man, so...
I know you are. You are a cat man.
Cats have, especially in a city, I mean, cats have so many advantages. I mean, they are self-sufficient, they don't have to go outside, they can be left for long periods of time, they're very clean. A dog, you know, yeah, it's great to have a big dog if you live on a farm, but you can't have a big dog in a city in the middle of winter in Chicago. I mean, you should see these jokers. They got their dog out there for 5 minutes with boots on, walking around in, you know, 8 inches of snow. It's you gotta consider your environment if you're going to try.
I'll concede that if you're in a big city, having a 50-pound dog is torture for the dog. I'm just saying the value proposition for me for dogs over cats is we're talking exponential, 50-fold the protection a dog can provide.
Protection? Your dog wouldn't protect you from anything. Protection.
Greatest dog.
I can't believe you just said that. First of all, your dog's not 50 pounds, right?
He's 54.
Is he? Okay. Yeah. So he just barely meets the
Been right between 53 and 60 basically his whole life.
That dog wouldn't protect you at all. Be that first
dog, greatest dog ever.
Oh man.
Can't replace a dog. Dogs are better than humans. All right. Well, I think that's all we have this week. And we're going to have a little international travel coming up. So it's going to be a little bit of a rotation of individuals on the mic, but we will be getting good picks out regardless. But we'll catch you guys next time.
See ya.